Feel pretty good about myself this morning. I got dressed and my son comes up to me. He says, "Dad, just want you to know you look good." I said, "Well, thank you very much." He goes, "But I also want to remind you our retro service is over." If anyone knows any hitmen for hire, please see me after the service. Just kidding. We are a church, and our mandate is rise. If you take a look or just sort of picture in your mind a mountain, and R-I-S-E is our making our way up the mountain, and we want to make our way up the mountain together. If you take a look at the base camp, the bottom of the mountain, we have R, and R focuses on relationship, relationship with man and relationship with God. You know, the Lord, the very first message I ever spoke here was on abiding with the vine, and it is so important for us to be a people who know God and know what he's wanting to speak to us. Just a side note, you know, sometimes I get calls as pastors that they're not easy fixes. And this week was no different. I received a phone call from a lady who was in an abusive situation for 20-some-odd years. And she was looking to get out. And she's like, "Could you find me a place to stay?" And I don't like calls like that because it's hard. You take upon yourself like, man, she can't find a place to stay. Now I've got to find a place to stay or else I'm going to let her down. And you don't want to let her down. And it's just like, but I don't know where to start. So I put it out on Facebook, and it's just like, hey, you know, if anyone knows of anything, could you let me know? And I just want you to know, that whole tag that who we are, real love for real people, I was really blown away by the people who private messaged me. And some people are saying, I have a place that she's welcome to stay. I had a friend of mine who's in the community. He's not part of our church. So like, you know what? I get my kids every second week, so every 2 weeks I've got a room empty in it, and she can take that for 2 weeks, and then I'll have to find another situation, but then 2 weeks later, she's welcome to go back there again. It was just awesome. See, that relationship portion, that R portion, sometimes it's easy to love, and other times it costs us something. Are we willing to make those sacrifices? Are we willing to open up our homes in a guest bedroom when it's just kind of like, you know what? I kind of like my privacy. Our home's our castle. But yet when we open it up to strangers, it's amazing what God does to bless. So I just want to tell you, I love you guys. And thank you so much for your heart of serving. One of the ways that we look at this, our portion, is through a group called Alpha. And Alpha is an opportunity to be able to ask those questions like, you know what, I just never really understood this about my faith. Or never really, like, I'm not sure how this whole thing works. And I got a little video here just to kind of show you what Alpha is all about.
Every day we ask so many questions. What should I wear? What's the weather going to be like? How am I going to fit everything in? But then there are those bigger questions, like, why am I here? Where am I heading? Is there more to life than this?
I had arrived at an answer to the most important issue that we humans ever deal with. Is there a God? And I had arrived there without ever really looking at the evidence. And I was supposed to be a scientist.
At 28, I had gotten many of the things that I thought I wanted. My girlfriend was on the cover of magazines, I had a Beamer, and I was so unhappy. It was a realization maybe that I would never find happiness where I was looking for it.
I think for so many years, you know, I always just strived to be strong in myself. All I needed was me and my buddies and, you know, we'd be like invincible. But the truth is, none of us are.
I found purpose, I found meaning, I found hope. God took something so broken and made it a beautiful art piece.
Alpha is a place where you can be yourself. You can say what you think and challenge everything. No question is too complex or too simple. And what your point of view is as important as anyone else's.
We are going on a journey together, an adventure to explore the questions of life, faith, and meaning.
You can get more information at the Hub, which is our little stand down at the bottom of the stairs on the left-hand side on your way out. If you'd like to take Alpha, that's a great course for you to be able to sign up for. Tonight, we're launching the I portion of RISE, and I stands for intimacy. Intimacy with God. Now, how is that obtainable? Where is the Lord desiring for us to grow? This course is called Hearing God, and it will run Sunday evening starting tonight. This will be the third time we've run Hearing God, and we're dedicated to running it every single fall. Now, before we get into, this is what the bulk of the message is going to be, but before we get into that, I'm going to ask Missy Fleming to come on up and share a testimony. Missy. Welcome, Missy.
Hey. I want to start out by kind of saying what it's done in general, Hearing God. I'm an awkward person. Socially awkward, never know what to say, and that kind of carried over into my prayer life. I never knew what to say. I thought that sounded stupid. It was just never what my heart really wanted to say. And so when I learned about a prayer journal and things like listening prayer, it opened my world. I was able to express things that I couldn't express verbally. I'm a writer, so that was right up my alley. It just took me to another level, and hearing God has enhanced my prayer life. I'm much more comfortable with it. I am much better at hearing God, like not only, you know, whether it's through a journal. I'm much more efficient at hearing God here, and especially here. So it's not just, you know, I did it the first time. I'm coming back again tonight for a refresher. But the point of today is that I wanted to share something that God said to me about 11 months ago. My thing has always been, God made me a clean slate, a blank slate. I am a new creation. He wiped everything away, and that was always kind of a prayer that I prayed to him, a thankful prayer. And he really surprised me one day. All right. I was basically asking him for direction. You know, I didn't want to be one of those people who come to church. I want to be part of the church. I want to have a place here. I want to lead. I want to serve. I want to do all these things. And that's been my prayer for a really long time. And, you know, it's taken 11 months, but it's finally starting to happen. And so his answer to me was, believe in me, and in me believe in yourself. The future is unfolding for you now, according to my great plan. You are not the clean slate you claim to be. You are the chalk, and the world is your slate. Be ready. So I think that was God telling me that I'm going to be an instrument in his hands. I'm going to be a tool in the best way possible. So come to Hearing God. It will change your life.
Thanks, Missy. You can also sign up for that after the service back at the Hub there. You know, for me, that intimacy portion, I found in my own life, that personal life, that I'm not a writer. In fact, I really don't like journaling. For my master's course, I had to do journaling or I would have failed it. And I did whatever was necessary just to be able to pass. I think I would write one entry a month, just like, there, look, I journaled, and I got the check mark on it. But it was a check off the box. But this really changed the way that I saw the Lord, and really it was understanding for me who God is as he speaks deep within my spirit. The next portion is the S, which is our set free portion. And we'll be running that again in the spring 2019. Set free will deal with sins, habits, past hurts, and other implements of that for us to be able to grow. See, as we give our life to Christ, quite often we have a past. And that past doesn't just go away. You know, sin pays wages, and we need to bring that before the Lord and ask for healing. And as we bring that before the Lord just removes these past hurts, maybe habitual sins, and really sets us free. So Sets Free is such an awesome course, and that is coming up later on this year or next year. And the final portion is our E portion, which is our equip portion. And we want everyone to get to the summit of the mountain together. And for the E portion, I don't have a lot to say because we haven't written it yet. We're still working on that. I'm hoping to have that finished by the end of 2019 to be able to bring that forward and to be able to run a course maybe just before summer. We'll see how that goes, but that's the goal. And we are so excited to see what God is doing. We have a little document, our Rise folder there. If you'd like more information and get the down low on it, you can pick that up at the Hub. It's free, and you can read what is important to us and why it's important to us. So let's hit that hearing God portion this morning. And if you have your Bibles, you can open it up to John 10, verses 1 to 5. It says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate of the shepherd of the sheep, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And after he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. What a great picture Jesus gives us here. It's somewhat perhaps foreign to us because in Bozeman, Montana, not many of us know shepherds, people who live with their sheep 24/7, people who really walk in that place. Maybe Kathy Gregoire is the closest that we have. But we don't really understand that so much that they could distinguish his voice and over any other voice. You know what? Maybe if you have a dog, you'll understand that a little bit better. I think the world famous Mr. Pickles is quite the pup. And it's amazing. He can be over wherever. And if I simply go, he comes running to the master. He just knows, not even a word, just a sound that it's me, and he just comes to me. There are a number of accounts of people watching two or even three flocks that have mixed together in a pen for a night for protection, and they're able to find their own sheep in the morning just by listening to the shepherd's voice, and they follow. Three times in this passage, and one more in verse 27, Jesus says, in the same way that sheep know their shepherd's voice, the people who follow me should know mine. In fact, if someone else tries to speak to them and get them to follow, they will immediately think, hey, that isn't my shepherd's voice, so I'm not going there. You know, just a little bit of a side note this morning. Matthew 24:10-13 says, and many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. There will be many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. My friends, we need to know the voice of God. We need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt who God is. We need to know the Word of God and whether whatever is happening lines up with the Word of God, whether it's truth or whether it is not. We just have this mamby-pamby society that just kind of goes through whatever. It's just like, whatever happens, let's just go with the flow. You know, I'm from Alberta, Canada, and this is happening right now in Alberta. Alberta needs a touch from God. You know, right now in Alberta, the school board sent out a document to all schools in Alberta 2 years ago, and they wanted to have their policies of every single school, private, Catholic, and Christian. And as they did that, they sent, they released it, that was 2 years ago, they just released this document, which was is basically, it's not a law, but it's a strong arm threat. If you do not, if in your doctrine, if it says that something like God is the ultimate authority, that needs to be removed. Because if that is not, the government is the authority, and God is not our authority. If you have an agenda in there that says that homosexuality is wrong, that is very detrimental to the LGBT community. They wrote in that document that it's hurtful, and it needs to be removed. From this document here, it says, the unchangeable and infallible truth of the Word of God allegedly violates the School Act requirement that diversity must be respected. In the document sent to schools, the word truth is highlighted in yellow by the government in a color-coded document, which now has been nicknamed the Rainbow Requirements. In other words, school must teach only relativism. No absolutes are allowed. Otherwise, those schools will not find favor with Egan, who is our education minister, and his comrades in the NDP. How about the statement from religious schools that say, we believe men and women were created in the image of God, after his likeness, and therefore have transcended worth? Apparently, that statement is considered unwelcoming, uncaring, and disrespectful by the other government and has been highlighted in the color orange. What they're threatening right now is they're threatening saying, if you do not remove these from your foundation, then we will no longer receive government funding. Now, for a school that is a Christian school, they're like, who cares? We don't get government funding anyways. So they've added this. If you do not remove those by a year, is it a year? Do you remember? I'm not sure either. But remove those, I think it was by a year. Then not only will you not get government funding, but you will not be accredited anymore. So what happens with that, if you're not sure what that means that if your kid is in heritage school up the road and they go through grade 12 and they get their document, that is a worthless piece of paper because it's not accredited. So when they go to a university, that's not accepted. They're strong-arming the Canadians into following what the government mandate is. That's happening in our backyard. My friends, if you don't think we're in the end times, wake up. We have to know God. We have to know what God is speaking to us, and we have to stand in authority and power. This morning, I'd like to share three simple truths that are directed in this message that we can take from these past verses that I was just read. Number one is God speaks to us. It's natural and common. When all of a sudden you tell people, I speak to God, it's not like, you're a mental case. God wants to speak. God does speak, and he wants to speak to you. Number two, we should be able to identify God's voice. We shouldn't be fooled by the voice of others because we will know which is and isn't the voice of God. We will know the truth. We will know the word of God. We will make sure that we have that balance in place. Number three, we are to listen and follow. We aren't to ignore God when he speaks because it's for our good, our safety, and our benefit that he speaks to us. Well, all three of those things are important. Today, this morning, I want to focus on the first step there. God speaks today. Right from the very beginning of recorded scripture, we read about interactions with God through conversation. In Genesis 3, we're told that God spoke to Adam, and Adam answered him. And then we read conversations that take place between them. Adam wasn't surprised by God speaking to him because it was a normal thing. So this wasn't the first time that they had talked together. For man and God to talk was common. It was normal. And as you continue reading through the very first book of the Bible, we find conversations going on between God, between Abraham, God and Jacob, and others. We also read that God spoke to Joseph through dreams and to Jacob through an angel. So speaking to God and hearing from God was not an ordinary an ordinary occurrence. And when we come to Moses and we discover that nothing has changed, God still wants to interact with his people. In fact, with Moses, we have so many recorded conversations that it almost seems like talking to God and hearing from God was an everyday thing. The first time it happened was the burning bush. God released a fire on the bush that did not burn, and he says, "Moses, Moses," and he started speaking to Moses. He did that little thing just to kind of like, he didn't know who God was there. But then as he starts to grow with Moses, we don't see the burning bush experience again because God and Moses walk into a friendship. He knows who he is. And so this phrase, "then the Lord says to Moses," becomes so natural in the Word of God that we almost miss it. In fact, the first 10 chapters of Exodus, it is written down at least 25 times. The Lord spoke to Moses. So when God speaks, Moses is used to that happening. He doesn't need that burning bush anymore, but he knows, like it says in John 10, he knows the voice of the Master. That's how they communicated. God wants something done or some direction taken. He speaks and Moses hears him and obeys, and it becomes normal life. But then we come across something that is disturbing in the Bible. It's in Exodus 20, verse 18 to 21, if you want to open up there. Let me read it to you. "When the people heard the thunder and the loud blast of the ram's horn, and when they saw the flashes of lightning and the smoke billowing from the mountains, they stood at the distance trembling with fear. And they said to Moses, 'You speak to us and we will listen, but don't let God speak directly to us or we'll die.' 'Don't be afraid,' Moses answered them, 'for God has come in this way to test you, and so that your fear of him will keep you from sinning.' As the people stood in the distance, Moses approached the dark cloud where God was." So here we have the people of God. They have read and they don't want God to speak to them. They've seen his power, his physical manifestations before them, but they want to stay at a distance and have someone else tell them what God wants them to do. And so they say, "Moses, tell you what, you go, you hear from God, and you come back and tell us. That sounds like a great plan." They miss out on the intimacy of being able to speak to God for themselves. Now, notice what Moses says here. He says, "Do not be afraid." Don't be afraid of God speaking to you. He wants to talk to you like he talks to me. It's been that way forever. He talked to Adam. He talked to Abraham. He talked to Jacob. He talked to Joseph. And he wants to talk to us. I don't want to be the only one that hears from God. You are just as entitled as I. Verse 21. "The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was." What happened? Moses couldn't convince the people to talk to God for themselves. He couldn't show them that it was normal. So here's one of the greatest privileges ever granted to humankind. He invited to hear God personally, for them to be able to talk to God personally. And the people turned it down out of fear. Now Moses is going to make one more attempt at giving the people the chance to be at the same level with he. That conversation between the almighty heaven and the ordinary average person of earth should be something normal and not routine. Let's look at Exodus 33. Israel had reached Mount Sinai where they will camp for a while. Moses leads them to receive the Ten Commandments, but comes back to find that they have quickly abandoned God in favor of an idol that they made. You may remember this story. Moses is so upset, he can't believe it, that this happened in such a short time, that he smashes the tablets of the stone and warns the nation that God is so upset that he might not even go with them any further. They're on their own. Now look at Exodus 33, 7 to 11. This is so good. Are you ready? "It was Moses' practice to take to the tent of meeting, set it up some distance from the camp, and everyone who wanted to make a request to the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp." Did you get that? Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. We need to understand something here. The tabernacle with the Holy of Holies and the altar of sacrifice and the other things that were in it had not been built yet. That is going to happen a few chapters later. So what Moses calls the tent of meeting is like the first model or the first edition. Eventually the tabernacle will be built and the rule will be no one except the high priest can be able to enter into the Holy of Holies, the place where God's presence was the strongest and the heaviest. The people will be able to go so far and no further. But that tabernacle hasn't been built yet. For the first model, Moses says, anyone who wants to speak to God, ask him the question to be with him. Hear their response. Anyone can go into this tent and speak with God just like he speaks with me. Here's another chance to go wherever you want, to be able to go and speak with the Lord. So what happens? What happens? Is it like the REI garage sale where people line up for blocks to be able to get in the door? Oh, you'd think so, wouldn't you? But it's not. Sadly, that isn't what happened. In verse 8 says, and whenever Moses went out of the tent, all the people rose and stood in the entrance of their tents, watching Moses enter. Isn't that sad? They didn't take God up on his invitation. They reacted the same way they did a few chapters earlier. Talk to God? Have him talk to me? No, thank you. We'll just stay here and watch what happens. It's safer. Moses, I got a great idea. You're the leader. You go and do it. And tell us what he says. We have the promise in Joel that ordinary people, men, women, servants, slaves, young, old, will hear the voice of God in various ways. Dreams, visions, prophetic words. It's like he's going to create this new tent of meeting where every person can go at any time to talk to God about whatever they want. But sadly, far too many Christians, nothing has changed. We can still stand outside the tent watching others, watching leaders, reading prophetic websites, watching pastors go in to converse with God, wait for them to come out to tell us what to do. They aren't taking advantage of the special friend-to-friend relationship that God wants every single one of us to have. That is something that I would love to see changed. Now, I'm not saying that none of you hear from God, but I suspect that there's less that hear from God than want to. I believe that he wants every person here to hear his voice, just like the sheep that we talked about earlier in this message. Again, Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. They know when it's me talking to them because we have carried on so many conversations that they recognize me. He also says, my sheep listen to my voice. They know that I'm talking, and so they're in the mode of listening. They aren't just expecting it to hear me, and it becomes normal. Can you imagine what it'd be like to hear God's voice often? Oh, man, I got this big meeting coming up this week, and I got to know what to do. Oh, man, I wish God would speak to me. He will. Oh, man, my kids right now, they're rebelling. They're running from God. I just don't know what to do. Oh, if I could only hear from God, you can. Oh, man, I just don't know what to do about this situation. This is really, should I invest? Should I not invest? Should I step forward? Should I run away from this? I don't know what to do. Ask God. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. That is the reason why we're putting on the Hearing God seminar, which again starts tonight. My goal is that every single person in our congregation over 16 years old will take it. Men, women, younger, older, newer, and not so new followers. Maybe you've taken it before and you feel like a refresher. You're welcome to take any of the courses as many times as you wish. I'm glad even Missy shared about that today. Every time you'll get something new out of it, I know that I've taught it many times. It's kind of like, oh, that's good. I need to know that. My sheep hear my voice. They listen to my voice. I talk with them as a friend talks to God. Every one of us can be that person God talks to. It takes time. It takes discipline. It takes learning. It takes desire. But it can happen. And my friends, in the world that we're living in today, it needs to happen. We need to know God so closely that, you know what, you just walk in such an intimate relationship with him. That's our loving Father. He desires to share the hidden jewels and gems that are within the Word of God. He desires to open up answers to questions that maybe you've had for years. Now, again, sometimes I think we live in a microwave society. Try it once, Lord. What? Oh, I just got nothing. Sometimes it takes years. Because for whatever reason, the Lord is like, just wait on this one. I'm going to tell you, but now's not time, not the right time. Sometimes we think God's a genie. We're going to rub the bottle and everything we bring to him comes to fruition. We know that's not true because the Apostle Paul asked the Lord to remove that ailment from him, whatever that was, that thorn in the flesh. But the Lord wouldn't do it. And then when all of a sudden we pray for somebody, it doesn't happen, we feel defeat, kind of like, oh man, I guess I don't have enough faith. Do you think that you need more faith than the Apostle Paul had? That's the Apostle Paul. He wrote most of the New Testament. But yet he stands before the people saying, man, I've been beat more than you. I've been shipwrecked more from you. This guy knew difficulty. He knew trials. But I think somewhere in our DNA, we just have it mixed in there that if we're a child of God, that we're going to live a pain-free life. My friends, I'm sorry, but that's a lie that has been implanted in the church. Because what happens is when all of a sudden we start to suffer and go through trials, we're like, this is not God. God doesn't love me. I'm out of here. It's an unbalanced doctrine. We have to walk in that place knowing that God will never leave us or forsake us, knowing that he has us in the palm of his hands, knowing that he wants to speak to us during our dark times. That's who God is. But yet sometimes in our small minds, we can become so offended and so callous towards the Lord because he didn't do what we want him to do. My friends, talk to God. Walk in that relationship with him. Feel free to ask him those questions. God, why is this going on right now? Lord, what is it that I need to learn in the midst of this lesson? He's a good father. And he wants to lead you. He wants to talk to you about that. As Moses went in the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. It seems that Moses is the only one who used this tent. As far as we know, except for Joshua, no one else ever goes in and talks to God. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they stood and worshipped, each at the entrance of their tent. So these aren't people who don't care about God. They're worshiping. They are extremely respectful of what's going on, but they aren't hearing God for themselves. Verse 11, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Here's what I think. If anyone else had gone into that tent, God would have spoke to them, just like he speaks to Moses. They could have asked him questions, talked about life, carried on conversations like you would have someone who you know really well. They could have had that with as like Moses, but no one, except for Joshua, took God up on this offer. And from that time on, throughout the rest of history of the Old Testament, God rarely spoke to regular people. For the most part, he only spoke to leaders, prophets, kings, priests. But the average person had to wait to hear from someone else of what God was saying until Jesus came. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. Thank you, Jesus, for opening up the heavens again. Thank you, Jesus, for you are marvelous. When Jesus died on the cross, something happened inside that temple where all of a sudden now common men were not allowed to go into the Holy of Holies. Only the head priest could go in there once a year. Do you remember what that was? The veil was torn. Now this veil was not just something light. No, this veil was 6 inches thick. And it was tore in two from the top open to the bottom, exposing the Holy of Holies and allowing people to see in for the first time. Now, this Old Testament, when this temple was constructed, the high priest could only go in there once a year. We see this in Exodus 28:35. It was the most sacred room within the tabernacle. Now, we've heard stories, and we can't verify that stories through the word of God because it's not in there. But Jewish rabbis have confirmed that when a priest would go in there, the high priest would go in there, that he would dress a certain way. And you've heard that he had bells on and he had a rope tied around his ankle. And the reason why he did that is because if he did anything wrong in this room, he would die. And the only way that they couldn't go in to get him because they would die. The only way that they could get him is if they had that rope and they'd pull him out. Now, again, that's historical. We have no proof of that, but rabbis have spoken that. Regardless, entering into the Holy of Holies was intense. I think that's fair to say. But in that, saying that, coming before a God who is completely holy, when Jesus died, that veil was torn. And I wonder if we, as sons and daughters, are guilty of sewing it back up. Oh, Lord, I don't, no way, Lord. The high priest can do this, but God, but not me. My friends, the Lord wants to speak. He desires relationship, but too often we sit on the sidelines and watch. God's original plan was relationship, and that relationship through Jesus has been restored. Can you imagine what it'd be like to hear God's voice often? We as a church are far from perfect. We know we hear God in part, and we desire for each one of us to grow in this skill, learning to know His voice. That is the reason why we're putting on a Hearing God seminar. It starts tonight, and it runs for the next 6 Sundays. My sheep know my voice. They listen to my voice, and I talk with them as a friend talks to a friend. Every one of us in here can be that person who talks to God. It takes time, it takes learning, and it takes discipline. But the Lord is wanting us as a body of Christ to walk in intimate relationship. My friends, let's do this together, because this is the mandate of who we are. We want to rise up that mountain together and hit the summit. For God is a good God. And He's desiring to speak to you every single day. Amen? Would you stand to your feet as we enter into worship? And I'd like to call up the prayer team. If you'd like prayer this morning about anything, you're welcome to join us. But this morning's message is more geared on preparing us for tonight. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Patrick will lead us in a song, and then he'll close us off. God bless you.